The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, and your favorite Chicago Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
1 week to go. A week from today, the Bears kick off the regular season against the Buffalo Bills at Soldier Field. And for the first time since 1920, Patrick Manley will be a guy watching the game and not playing in it.
Part of the media.
That's weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
Patrick Manley joins us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're pleased to be joined for the entire hour by one of the Bears' newest players, the second-round draft pick, the big defensive tackle out of LSU, Ego Ferguson. And, Pat, I don't know if you heard this, but the day Ego was drafted, they have this conference call with the media and draft picks as soon as they get selected. And some reporter, I forget who, some reporter asked Ego on the phone, So where'd the nickname Ego come from? And there's like a little bit of silence. That's my name, sir. It's not a nickname. No, your name is Ego.
Not at all. I was named after my father.
Ego Senior?
Yes, sir.
Now, how did he get the name Ego?
You have to ask him that.
You never asked him?
Nah, not at all. I just roll with it.
How was it like growing up with the name? Did kids ever try to pick up? They're obviously not picking on you as big as you are, but would they ever make fun or try to make fun or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, you heard a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of people say egotistical, you know, yeah. Ego Waffles was out hot then, so, you know, a lot of people use that one. But I just grew into it and I learned and loved it.
How about coaches?
Coaches usually call me JR. You know, I was a junior, so they usually call me JR.
Okay.
There is nothing junior about Ego Ferguson.
No, he's a big man sitting at this table.
Officially listed at 6'2", 315 pounds. You look bigger in person, which I guess is a good thing, right? I mean, you were brought in. I remember when you were drafted, Phil Emery, the Bears general manager, who has an affinity for SEC players because he considers it the best league in the United States, and I'm sure you do as well coming out of LSU, but he said you were a space eater and you were brought in here to help correct what was the worst running game in the NFL last season. Was that your forte? Do you believe that's your forte?
I definitely do. You know, anytime you come from a conference like the SEC, you know, it's a run-first conference, a powerhouse conference, and each week you're playing against the best. So coming out of there, you know, I feel like I proved myself each week in and out. And, you know, just was blessed that Phil decided to take a chance on me and came to, you know, show him what he got.
What's been the biggest difference between college and the pros so far as a D lineman?
The biggest difference is, you know, you have veterans, 12, 13-year-old veterans that have some slick moves, you know, so you got to get caught up to that. It's not really a big difference in strength, but it's more of about, being smart and understanding what kind of assignment you have.
Is practice different for you? Because in college, it's something that's – you're not really working with each other to get each other better, it seemed like. Are you and Matt Slauson, Roberto Garza, are they working with you in pass rush drills, in – D-line drills or 9-on-7 drills, are they working with you to try to help you to get better? I know your own teammates are, but are those guys as well?
It's actually a lot different than what I thought it was going to be. You know, I thought it was going to be when I first got here, every man for himself. Mm-hmm. But Kyle Long, Slauson, and Slotty all kind of took me under their wing and, you know, tell me what I do wrong each play and try to get me better because they want me to get them 100% every play.
You're listening to Bears All Access. 1 week before the Bears start the regular season against the Bills at Soldier Field, this segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Patrick Manley is along. I'm Zach Zaidman, visiting with Bears second-round draft pick Ego Ferguson, who will be playing his first real NFL game a week from today, and you're smiling. So are you nervous? Do you get nervous at this stage of your life?
Not nervous, more excited. You know, I heard a lot of tradition at this stadium. Say we have the best fans in the world, so I'm just so happy to see it in action.
What are you looking forward to the most? Running out of the tunnel the first time for a real game? The first hit of a real live game?
At the end, the victory of the first real game.
Good answer. I like that. Yeah.
Now, everyone always talks about the speed of the SEC, and then there's NFL speed. And I remember there's some players that are cocky that come out of the SEC and they say, oh, that's, man, if I survive in the SEC, the NFL's nothing. Are you one of those guys?
Not at all. I just feel like the SEC was a better step than any other place I could have, any conference I could have went. You know, it's like you're taking a big step, but at the same time, SEC gets you more prepared, I think, than any other conference.
Now, when you initially started working out with the Bears, especially during training camp, one of the things I noticed is balance was an issue early on in those pass rushing drills, yeah. And then by the end of it, you were taking advantage. So how much of time has been spent on technique? When you work with Paul Pasqualoni and you work with Clint Hurt, what are the things that they're specifically trying to teach you?
First of all, you know, coming into the situation with the older guys, you know, it was a lot of slick hand movements and, you know, just getting it off balance. And so I had to, you know, put the extra work in, start staying after practice every day with Joe Kim, Coach Hurt, and Coach P, and just, you know, trying to learn different ways to use what I'm good at and put into the NFL system.
And Joe Kim is the martial arts master, Pat. You didn't have that when you were playing.
We had Tunch Ilkin would come in and do the O-line drills back when I played O-line.
Oh, wow.
So the question I have for Ego is, how bad did your forearms hurt after working with him?
Man, he got a nice little chop on.
That's what we would do as well. He just, oh, it hurt. And finally, you almost build up a callus to it, I guess. But
that's all he talks about. I'm on the board, little truck board. We hit it every day for like 30 seconds.
No, I see it even before preseason games. You know, Joe Kim's out there on the field working with Roberto Garza, who I think is the strongest guy on the team. And, I mean, man, it's you can see he's got the hand quickness.
Yeah, Garza's got great hands. That's what makes him great as a, what is he, 13-year veteran now? The yeah. oldest guy on the team?
It's all about technique. I mean, there are very few players that can come along, kind of like Kyle Long, you know, who just overpowers you
physically.
He's got
man strength.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
I don't know. That's what I call it.
What's ego strength?
Hey, man, I just try to get off the ball as quick as possible, put my hands on you before you put your hands on me and, you know, be destructive.
Have you always been this big? Have you been a big kid?
Yeah, you know, back in the days I thought I was going to be a basketball player, so, you know.
Didn't we all?
outgrew that dream right there, so, you know, football is the next best thing.
And I'll bet you he wasn't even a power forward or a center. I mean, he was probably trying to play point guard, right?
You know it, yeah.
Oh, man, this is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Will Sutton, your teammate. He was drafted in the third round. You guys are the future when it comes to the interior of the Bears defensive line. And, you know, I've tweeted a couple of pictures of you guys out on special teams holding hands when you're playing the wedge. I mean, what's he like? Because it seems like you guys have a little bit of a bond going.
Yeah, we real cool together. You know, coming into a situation like this with another defensive tackle, you know, it's a great feeling because you have somebody that's going through everything you're going through. And just being able to relate with him, go to him, joke with him, have any kind of moments, basically like a brother. And every day we're trying to push each other to get better.
Coming up next with Ego Ferguson, we're going to get a scouting report on all the other rookies. Because who knows the rookies better than someone in that room, right? So we're going to talk with Ego Ferguson about Kyle Fuller, Will Sutton, Kadeem Carey. You know, he talks a lot, that Kadeem Carey. Talks a lot. Patrick Vandalese along. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg. Alongside Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaidman from Hallis Hall. 1 week to go before the Bears kick off the regular season against the Bills, and we're joined by rookie Ego Ferguson. And Pat, for people who have not had the privilege of coming to Hallis Hall, there's a unique system that the Bears have. They have a monster-sized locker room upstairs where all the veterans are. Notice I said veterans, because when you first become a member of the Bears and you're a rookie, either undrafted or drafted, you have to earn your way to the big room, right?
They put you in the basement. There's a locker room down in the basement with all the rookies lined up. And back in 1998, back when I was a rookie, I loved it. I don't know, Ego, I'll ask you in a second. But we loved it because you don't want to be around those older guys. You're nervous. You're scared. We're not scared. You're just nervous to be around them, afraid of hazing or whatnot. So it was kind of nice after practice, before practice, as a rookie, you could be by yourself down there and you guys could complain all you wanted without the guys upstairs here. And is that the way it is for you guys?
I mean, definitely in that room right there is a lot of bonding. You know, we got to know a lot of players probably better than we would have in the big room. So, you know, going down there with a lot of rookies like Jordan Lynch and Brandon Dunn, you know, characters come out. You know, you can't hide your characters. You know, everybody's characters start to come out the wild. And, you know, you just start bonding and getting closer together.
All right, let's do the scouting report then. Who's the smartest of the rookies?
The smartest of the rookies, besides me.
We'll divide it up into two segments. We'll have football smart and just world smart.
Okay, the smartest rookie probably is Pat O'Donnell or David Fells.
That's makes good. Sense,
punter,
right?
Yeah, punter and quarterback. Hopefully he's the smartest. He needs to be. He's got to learn that playbook.
who who's the football smart or just smart overall?
Smart overall.
Okay, so that's good.
Who talks too much?
Ooh.
Who's got like the most energy that, you know, some mornings you come in, you're like, oh, man, just be quiet.
Oh, you know who it is.
Do I got to answer that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who probably talks the most? I mean, it's a lot of characters in that locker room right there.
Does Kadeem he ever quiet down?
He's quiet in the locker room.
Really?
You know? We kind of give him a hard time sometimes, so, you know.
When I was doing rehab out in San Diego, he was out at the same place, so right. I've met him before. And I think the first day I go walking in there, there's a bunch of the pre-draft guys working out, and he is just nonstop talking. I was like, who is this guy? I got to know him a little bit there. He's a great guy. Enjoyed, you know, meeting him. But, yeah, that guy, to me, is a talker. I haven't been, obviously, with him in the locker room, but I'm sure he keeps you guys entertained.
But you have to have confidence, right? I mean, you can't play this game unless you believe that you're better than the guy on the other side.
I mean, I feel like that's the biggest part of the game right there, confidence. Confidence either builds you up or breaks you down. It's one or the other. Don't go another way.
Was it always like that for you, or was there a point in your career, whether in high school, college, even now in your brief NFL career, where, you know, you thought you could do something and someone did it better than you and knocked you down and you had to work your way back up?
Yeah, I mean, high school, you start as a freshman going to the senior year. You know, you always – it's like a big challenge, a step everywhere you go from college, from freshman year to your senior year, now to NFL from rookie year to however long I'm blessed. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like we're starting over again, but it's starting at the bottom, working your way back to the top, and trying to get to the point where you were before.
To go back to college real quick, you had Brick Haley as your D-line coach?
Yes, sir.
He was here as a D-line coach. How much of Tommy Harris did he talk about when you were there?
Oh, my gosh. I heard that name a million times probably. He said he's one of the best defensive tackles he's ever been around.
Did he show a lot of tape of him?
Yes, sir. No. He showed me a lot of tape and just told me, you know, he was a student of the game and I needed to be more of a student of the game. Every time he chewed me out, Tommy Harris' name came out of
it. That's a good comparison, though, man. When Tommy was healthy, he was as good as you could be as a three technique. Yes. Are there any other players you look at, pros, college guys you maybe even watched to try to learn from?
When I came into the league, you know, Gerald McCoy was one of the guys that I watched for a while, and I feel like he's one of the best tackles in the game. You know, you have Sue, you have veterans like Nada and Vince Wilfork that, you know, just big guys that changed the game. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know, you can learn from everybody. You know, one of my personal favorites is Kyle Williams. And, you know, he went to LSU with us, and, you know, just watching him at the Buffalo Bills is amazing.
It is kind of, when you think about it, I think LSU has had this past season the most players drafted by the NFL.
Yes, sir.
I mean, look, see, he's smiling. I mean, the competition that you're going through just on your team has got to be something else.
Oh, man, you should have seen us before the draft. We were all trying to figure who was going to get drafted before each other. And, you know, it's like a pipeline there. I feel like one of the biggest things I heard during recruiting in high school is you go to LSU, no matter if you're a first string, second string, you have a chance at the league no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is proven.
Where else did you look when you were coming out of high school?
Florida State, Miami, Notre Dame, and California.
What made you choose LSU?
The D-line tradition, I think at that time they had like 9 straight years of mm-hmm. defensive linemen getting drafted. And it's just, you know, every year you had people, basically our second string was getting drafted in 4th, 5th round.
Sure.
It was crazy.
The SEC is amazing football. It's fun to watch. I grew up down there and I grew up in Atlanta, so I'm an SEC fan. It's some serious football, and it's a different culture too.
Oh, man.
The pregame tailgating and all that stuff.
They start tailgating on Thursdays.
That's awesome. All right, let's get to the guy, because he is probably one of the most interesting characters in all of college football, Les Miles. And is he exactly like we see him on TV?
I mean, I heard a lot of stuff about the TV. But he's a great coach, a great recruiter. Know how to motivate you for games, and you know, it's just somebody fun to have as a coach. It's not all about, like, some people's all about business, but with him is more, you know, trying to get to know you as a person. And you know, the same way he recruited you, the same way he's gonna act at the end of the day.
Now, you learned some lessons at the tail end of your career.
Yes, sir.
At LSU. Do you, at the time, you were probably ticked off that everything was going on. Have you learned to appreciate what they were trying to do, and what did you take out of the whole experience of not being able to play in the bowl game?
I took out of just being accountable as a man and growing up. I feel like, you know, it's easy to blame somebody else, but you got to sometimes blame yourself and just look in the mirror and, you know, you got to grow up. You know, you got to be a man because at the end of the day, you know, the step I took to go to the NFL, you know, this is not a boy's game. You got to be a man to be in this league because a lot of stuff going behind the scenes that you got to be accountable for yourself.
That's a great way to look at it. That's a great answer. But you came out a year early, correct?
Yes, sir.
What made you want to come out a year early? I knew you were a second-round draft pick. Did you know you were going to get drafted that high?
I mean, I felt like I was going to get drafted higher, you know, if you ask me. So,
that's great.
I just felt like at the time, you know, my mother was going through a situation where she got hurt, and she needed me more than I needed her. And at the time, you know, I felt like it was the right decision for me and my family.
I agree with you. I think you made the right decision. Anytime you can get drafted in top two rounds in the NFL, you're going to be something special.
Now, when teams were talking to you, what did they want to know about you off the field?
I just want to know my character. You know, I feel like a lot of people had a misconception of my character just because of the way I played, I guess, you know, I had an attitude on the field. But when you get to know me, I'm a very, you know, chill, you know, like to have fun type of guy, you know, always smiling. I kind of, you know, love being in this situation. I don't take nothing for granted because I realize anything can be gone at any given moment. So you got to cherish every moment while it's here.
Yeah, but you're not too nice on the field, right? There's that little switch that you turn on, right?
On the field is a different story.
We'll find out what that means next. Bears All Access with rookie Ego Ferguson. Patrick Manley is along. I'm Zach Zaveman. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Six-foot-2-inch, 315-pound Bears nose tackle. Ego Ferguson is our guest for the hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, alongside longtime Bears long snapper Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zaveman. And Ego, when we went to the commercial break in our last segment, you said you're nice until it's game day and it's game time. And then you got to turn the switch. What's that? Do you do crazy mental things to kind of psych yourself out, or do you just go out there because you know you got to have a certain attitude?
I mean, I feel like it comes natural to me. It's like, you know, you can have all the fun before the game, but once the ball snaps, you know, it's my life versus your life basically out there. You know, I'm trying to feed my family, you trying to feed your family, and my family not gonna ever starve.
Do you become that different guy for the end? Awesome.
He got you.
I love That's it. Good. He's ready to go. We got 1 week.
He is ready to
feast.
When you
turn it on, do you turn it on for the whole game, or is it kind of on when you're on the field, off? You know what I'm talking about? Is it a switch that's just boom?
It's on and off, you know, because off the field, you got to be able to tell your coach what's going on out there, who's pulling, what type of blocks you're getting, if it's a six-man protection or seven-man protection. So you got to still be able to communicate. But when you're on the field, I don't think about nothing. I'm just going. Yes. I'm trying to get to you quick as possible.
Was it Jeremiah Ratliff last year against Minnesota? Was that the game he came back and was pacing on the
– Oh, my goodness. It was his first game. And now, remember, he'd gone through a bunch of different injuries, so it'd been a while, and let go. Ugly situation in Dallas, a divorce there. He ends up on the Bears and works his way back to being healthy. And he's warming up. He's got the face paint and, you know, not just the – what do you call that stuff?
He's got William Wallace face paint going on.
It's just it looked like he was ready for football combat, right? Mm-hmm. And he's in a zone, you know, just kind of has that stare where, you know, man, I don't want to be lined up against that guy. And keep in mind, I mean, Pat, you played, so you know. I mean, you've seen so many different guys. No one. I've never seen.
That was the most intense I've ever seen anybody go in before a game. You know, it was before a play, I guess.
The eyes were, like, popping out of his head, and he had that – I mean, It was not fair for the guy who had to go up against him. And you can see the way, since that point in time, he's worked his way into being a starter and a very huge part of what the Bears plan on doing on the defensive line. And I noticed that when you guys are out there, both you and Will, he is very cognizant of the rookies being out there and trying to teach you guys what it takes to succeed in the NFL.
I mean, first of all, it's really a blessing to have a guy like that to be able to play with it at the end of his career, like, you know, learn everything he'd been through. And, you know, just he basically took me under his wing with as far as pass rush moves, run fish, you know, just little hints and little tips here and there. And playing on the field beside him, it's amazing because he'd be turned up. Like, it's like no other way to describe it. Like, he gets you fired up.
Look, give us an idea, because a lot of people don't really spend time watching the trenches. They're looking at the fancy positions, you know, but you're in there. You can hear him. What's it like?
Man, I remember one play, in fact, Seattle, we was basically in the middle of the field, and he was like, just made a tackle, and he came up to me, he said, Rook, the ball coming down the middle, get your pants on, let's ride. And you know what I mean? The way he said it, though, like, I can't even say what he said. The way he said it, you like, let's go. Like, where's that?
I had to line up against him on field goal block when he played for Dallas.
Oh, it was
a nightmare. It was one where you'd watch all the game tape leading up to your game, and he would just destroy all the other long snappers. And I would just be that game, like, yep, this is the one where this guy's going to kill me.
Oh,
has he talked to you at all about the importance of special teams and doing that kind of stuff and being a potential starter, you're a backup guy, you're not going to play as much as he will, but being a contributor on special teams?
He basically told me, the more valuable you are, the longer you'll be around. And I take advantage of every situation, not just, defense, but as far as, like, special teams. If they want you running on the wedge, go 100 miles per hour, he said that's the way to stay around the league a long time.
That's true stuff. And that's another thing I wanted to ask you. How much, not only football, is he teaching you or other guys in your room, are they teaching you about preparing for practice, what to do after practice, all that kind of stuff? Are they giving you that advice as well?
I mean, my whole defensive line kind of took me under their wings. Some days, Rat would have me come out there 15 minutes early, work on hands, just work on, different block schemes. Willie would have me in the weight room. We working on flexibility and keeping your body good, keeping, more endurance and stuff like that. And, life lessons, more than anything, Rat would come talk to me about, my personal life and how things going. And it's like somebody you can relate to, somebody that's been there, that been through everything and he got every answer for you.
That's great to have.
So if they're girl issues that you're having, you go over to Jeremiah Ratliff and you're like, hey, Rat, what do you do when?
Real life lessons.
No, but I do want to hit something that Pat said, because, special teams, at least during the preseason, looked a little rough, because I think you guys are trying to mesh so many different players together. But there are a lot of guys that, when you're one of the top players on your college team, you don't play a lot of special teams. Did you have at LSU an opportunity to play on teams a lot?
I think the only teams I played on was field goal block, and that was pretty much it. And then field goal a little bit. But, when I got here, they told me I'd be doing the wedge and a field goal block and stuff like that. And I just ran with open arms, just ready to do something.
But it's an adjustment, Pat.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you. How much of an adjustment is that? How much do you have to learn? I mean, you got to learn to drop to your spot, turn, find the ball. And then make sure you
different.
Find whoever you're blocking.
It's definitely different because, I didn't realize how fast some people are coming at you down the line. But, once you, get comfortable and stop thinking about stuff, just going with the flow is get a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Realistically, how long does it take when you're trying to put a new group together? Because there's a lot of turnover on the Bears roster from last year to this year.
We've had years before. I can't remember what exact year it was, but we've finished in the top 10, but we didn't get going until week 5 or 6 because we had so many new guys that were playing for us. And it takes true game reps. You can practice out there on the practice field as much as you want. But for special teams, it takes, like he talked about, the speed. You can't mimic that speed on the practice field.
Right, and it goes up another notch next week.
Oh, sure. Even from – that's the other thing. Preseason to regular season, people talk about the different levels of play or intensity. Preseason to regular season, then regular season to playoffs, it even gets higher, which is hard to believe because it's such an intense game. But, that's something you'll see against Buffalo, that it's those preseason games were what they were, and they're intense, and your brain's probably swimming a little bit, but just wait till Buffalo, and you just do what you do.
Are you studying running backs, or are you just studying linemen when you look at the early – when you guys are getting ready for Buffalo, and then after that you got San Francisco? All I see is C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson, and that's followed by Frank Gore, and then you go to Chris Johnson after that, and then Eddie Lacy following that up with the Packers. Do you study running backs, or do you just study the guy in front of you and removing him from the picture?
Well, we study the whole offense, different formations, different hints from quarterbacks and running backs in the O-lines, A lot of O-line, when they pull, there's a different stance and everything like that. So we try to study your whole formation and try to get the tendencies on everything.
See? Guys already spending time in the – Rats taught you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good room to be in. There's a lot of experience and a lot of –
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Lamar Houston and Jared Allen, and those guys are constantly yapping. I mean, you should have seen this before we take the break here. Cornelius Washington was playing in that preseason finale against Cleveland, and there was a pile. I think M.D. Jennings had knocked the ball out, and it was loose. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I don't know, it was on the far side from where we were, but Cornelius, and this is a big man, right? All of a sudden, you see him flying out of the pile and landing on his backside. He comes back to the sideline and and man, you know the veterans on the Bears' defensive line. And I can't repeat everything that they were saying, but needless to say, Cornelius Washington found out that is unacceptable. And man, were they mocking him? It was funny because they're like, they can't do you like that, I believe is the term. And it was very, very funny stuff. All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to test the knowledge of Ego Ferguson when it comes to Bears football against the longest tenured Bear in the history of this organization. That should be interesting, but we've got a twist. I'll explain next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week on Inside the Bears, Lance Briggs takes Anthony Adams through one of his boxing workouts.
That'll be good.
I don't know if it'll be good for Double A.
He said he's working out now, so maybe he can last for a good 3 or 4 minutes.
And the Bears rookies helped build affordable homes in the Chicagoland area. I saw a feature on that, so you were a part of that, right?
Yes, sir.
Was that cool?
Yeah, real cool. You know, just connecting with the people outside of, you know, football and seeing the fan support whale out there was amazing.
Do you have a chance to go out and eat with your buddies and then have fans just – do they recognize you already?
Yeah, I was actually out with my brother getting on some school supplies. And, you know, a couple fans recognized me in Walmart, and it was pretty cool, you know, being able to say hi to a couple fans and I take a couple pictures for them.
That's like being at LSU, though. I mean, you probably couldn't go anywhere either there.
It was worse at LSU.
Give yourself a couple years here, and it'll be worse here. Trust me.
But that's a good problem to have.
No, it's a good. That means he's playing well, and
he's getting recognized.
Doing what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. You want to play? Are you a Bears Authority?
Let's do
now,
it.
I decided to make it fair, and to make it fair, we're going to have a heavy emphasis on the Bears rookie class, right?
Okay.
Because that's the way to do it.
Sounds good.
Because you are a scholar now. You're a talk show host. your career has changed.
It has.
Congratulations,
by the way. Thank you very much.
This is your last Bears All
Access. Last one. I'm going to miss you guys.
Going on to bigger and better things at Chicago Sports Radio 670.
I don't know what's getting bigger than this. I mean, Greg Miller and you and whoever our guest is.
Yeah. Well,
no, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to work with Matt Spiegel. It's obviously going to be a different challenge, but it's something I'm looking forward to learn all sports in Chicago and talk all sports and give the perspective through my eyes. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'll be listening. And by the way, you know the old saying, next man up? We've got a good one coming up to replace you the rest of the season. Tune in next week.
Okay.
And we'll let
teaser,
you know who
I like
it is.
It.
You like that? We're visiting with Ego Ferguson. That's the reason that we're going to do Are You a Sports Authority here with some of the rookies.
Okay.
So ready? It's called Are You a Bears Authority, brought to you by Sports Authority, and here's how we play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you hit the buzzer in front of you. You want to give Ego an example, just like that.
Go.
It's going to make a loud sound. Whoever hits it first gets to answer first. If you don't get it right, the other player can answer the question. All of the questions will be multiple choice. Whoever has the most right after 7 questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Pat, you're going to be playing for Jerry Walensky from Boston, Massachusetts, and Ego, you're playing for Mark Savard from Chicago. And if you're listening right now and you want to sign up for a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Ego's pumped up. And he's got the hand quickness. He's been working
with Joe
Kim.
That's right.
Question number one. Bears rookie cornerback Kyle Fuller played his college ball at Virginia Tech. What city did he play his high school ball in?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Ego.
Oh, that's where you're from, Maryland, aren't you?
I played ball out there.
Yeah.
He went to Mount St. Joseph.
Yes,
where did you go?
I went to St. John's Catholic Prep for 3 years.
Did you beat him?
Nah, we ain't played each other.
All right. So, yeah, so there's a lot of trash talking, I'm sure, that goes on between. Now, see, here's the thing about Kyle Fuller, though. He's quiet, right?
Very quiet. But he's a cocky quiet. Don't let the quietness fool you now. He good on that field. He thinks. His swag tells it all.
Right. He acts like he belongs. Not by the way he talks, but by the way he walks, by the way he carries himself. Exactly. Reminds me a lot of Matt Forte when Forte was working in 2008.
And he's physical. A lot of people don't realize how physical he is outside in that corner.
Yeah, that's why when people keep asking, are the Bears a 4-3? Are they going to be a 3-4? What kind of defense are they going to be? Bears are going to be a nickel defense because of Kyle Fuller's ability to be able to tackle.
Yeah.
And Tim Jennings. And,
sure.
Yeah, you start talking about the SEC guy there. And Tim Jennings, Georgia guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's you got Charles Tillman back there. And that the guys up front. Whew. All right, question number two. And by the way, Ego, a 1-0 lead over Pat, and he is not messing around with hand quickness.
This is rigged.
All right, Bears rookie defensive lineman Will Sutton's father played defensive back and returned punts for the Rams, Packers, and Bills in the late 80s. What is his name? Here are the choices. Okay. Ready? Here are the choices. Again, Will Sutton's father played defensive back in the NFL in the 80s. What's his name? Marty Sutton, Mickey Sutton, Michael Sutton, James Sutton.
Pat. I'm going to go with James Sutton.
Incorrect. You might as well take a guess. Do you want me to repeat the choices?
Yeah, repeat the choices.
All right. Marty Sutton, Mickey Sutton, Michael Sutton.
Michael Sutton.
Incorrect. The answer is Mickey Sutton. Yeah.
That's crazy. I should have called Will first.
Yeah, right. Just texted
All right. Still a 1-0 lead for Ego over Pat. It's a best of seven. Question number three. Bears rookie running back Kadeem Carey holds the University of Arizona school record for career rushing touchdowns. How many did he have? The choices, 37, 41, 48, 52.
Say them again, real quick.
37, 41, 48.
I'm going to go with 48.
Pat, you are incorrect.
Can you say them again?
All right. 37, 37, 41, or 52?
37.
Incorrect. Man,
41.
He would be so disappointed that you guys are undervaluing the fact that this guy had 52 career rushing touchdowns. And that's
why,
you know, when people, you know, we were talking earlier about Kadeem Carey and, you know, the fact that he was talking a lot when you were rehabbing with him out in San Diego. I think the reason is because he doesn't wow you with combine numbers.
Right.
What he wows you with is production.
And stats at college are unreal.
I mean, you can't just – he was the Pac-12 offensive player of the year. Think about this,
You
know? And Will Sutton was the Pac-12 defensive player of the year.
Two years in a row.
Right. And last year, they say – even Will admits this. He wasn't in the kind of shape that you needed to be in, and he still won the award. I mean, that's it's clearly not the SEC.
That's a whole different segment.
Yeah, the argument goes on and on in the locker room right there.
Does it really?
Yes, it does.
Oh, man. And these Pac-12 guys, they come from out west. And automatically, let's be honest, if someone comes from out west, you start thinking, well, they're soft, right? Isn't that the – but it's a good conference, though, because you see Kyle Long and you're like, whoa.
Okay.
All right, let's continue here. Boy, it's a pitcher's duel here.
Yeah,
very low-scoring game. 1-0 lead, Ego over Pat. Bears rookie safety Brock Vereen's mom is from Decatur, Illinois, and along with his dad, played college athletics, at UNLV. What sport did she play? I could have given you the choices, but Pat, go ahead.
My hand slipped. Go ahead and give me the choices. I'm going to say track and field.
Incorrect. That's not even one of the choices, Ego. Basketball?
I keep forgetting we have the multiple choice. All the other ones we've had before haven't been this.
Basketball, tennis, softball, soccer. Again, we're looking for the sport that Brock Vereen's mom played at UNLV. Basketball, tennis, softball, or soccer?
I'm going to say soccer.
Incorrect. Tennis.
Tennis.
Yeah.
I was thinking tennis, too.
I wonder if he plays tennis. He's got to play tennis.
You would know.
I don't know if he played tennis.
<He'd ask. laughs> There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm laughing because what would you do if you found out that one of your teammates was this standout tennis player?
I did when I was a kid, when I was in 7th and 8th grade. And Olin Krutz crushed me on that.
Yeah, see, I was saying, I'm not in a position to make a long snapper joke, specialist, anything that. But, again, Olin, man.
Yeah.
And you admitted it, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was in like a pregame bio, you know, they write about you.
Yep.
And they asked me, quit football in 6th and 7th grade to play tennis. And I was a city champ of Atlanta with my team or whatever. So
right.
I was all proud of that. Olin comes to me before the game. He's like, really? Tennis? You admitted this?
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, we've got Roger Federer sitting next to us here. So when you were a kid, did you play any sport that's kind of like different from the normal stuff?
I played a year of lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
Maryland, of course.
Huge. Yeah. I went to Syracuse, big-time lacrosse school, and I can't even imagine what it would be like. Long stick defenseman?
Actually, attack.
Oh, man. I'm telling you.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. You know, Jim Brown, the Hall of Famer,
From what college did he
from
play?
From Syracuse.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I wonder how you knew that.
Yeah. He's a great actor. You know, I think he was great at everything he did, but they say, and I wasn't around when he played lacrosse, obviously, but they say that he was maybe the best lacrosse player in the history of the sport,
wow.
And he's considered by many people to be perhaps the best football player ever. Think about that. That's, man, I can't imagine you as an attacker.
Yeah, it was tough at first for me because I didn't know what I was doing. Couldn't hold the ball and stick it first.
Yeah, because you got to there's
right. You got to twist it and
yeah,
turn.
Yeah, but I know this. I feel bad for anyone looking to whack you over the head with that stick.
How old were you when you played?
Like 15.
Oh, wow. That's a big dude. It's not like he's a little kid running around.
All right, so basically we still have a 1-0 game here. Now, I want to remind both Pat and Ego, it's multiple choice, so yeah. It behooves you to wait for me to read the choices. I'm using the big words here. All right, question number 5. Again, a 1-0 lead for Ego over Pat here in Are You a Bears Authority. Bears rookie punter Pat O'Donnell played his senior year at Miami. What college did he play for in the three seasons?
Cincinnati.
Ego. See, look at that. He doesn't even need the choices.
See, that's the bonding they get down there in the basement together. That's all they do is talk about each other and their life and colleges and this is rigged. My last show and I get rigged.
In all your life playing football, have you, and I'm sure you heard it during one of the training camp practices in Bourbonnais when the crowd got on its feet during one of the special teams drills and they started chanting mega punt and they gave him a standing O for a punter.
Man, if you seen that leg, you'll give him a standing O too. It's not no normal punter, though. He's like a legit 6'5". Yeah, chisel six-pack, look like Clark Kent.
Like Clark Kent. Great.
He is.
That's Superman out there.
You know, was it the Seattle game where, you know, I think he had a short punt, mm-hmm. but then covered it
made
himself.
Yeah.
I think he just did that to intimidate other teams, right?
Yeah, show off his athletic ability.
It's a preseason game. You can get away
with
that
stuff. Don't break one on me.
See, look.
That's a freakish athletic punter right there.
He is. They don't make – I mean, think of all the punters that you played with, and you played with some pretty good ones, but mm-hmm. never with someone
– that size, no. No way.
You should see them go work out together. They're having scheduled extra workout lifts together and stuff.
That's crazy, man. And he makes – Robbie Gold is not the biggest guy in the world, but he makes Robbie Gold seem especially small.
Sure.
I mean, that's – I think that's affecting him a little bit mentally.
Could be. You can't hurt Robbie's ego.
You said it again. The words of Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear in the history of the organization.
That's my guy.
All right. It comes down to this. Ego's got a 2-0 lead over Pat. We've got questions 6 and 7. So basically, Pat doesn't get this right. Game over. Ego wins. All right. Question number 6. Who holds the Bears' all-time rookie record for rushing yards in a rookie season? The choices. Anthony Thomas, Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, Matt Forte. Ego.
Gale Sayers.
Incorrect. The choices.
Yeah, it's
Anthony Thomas.
That's the two.
Walter Payton, Matt Forte.
I'll just go with Matt Forte.
Correct. Yes.
Back in the game.
How about
I thought
that?
Maybe Anthony Thomas because he had a great year.
He did have a great year. Yeah. Had that great debut in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that was
remember?
Big.
Yeah, but and then you would just think that Gale Sayers.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, imagine if they had the kind of technology to help fix the legs.
Oh yeah.
Back then that they do now. Gale Sayers might be the all-time rushing
very easily.
Unbelievable player when you watch the video. All right, question 7. It's a 2-1 lead. This is for all the marbles here because if Pat gets it right, we go to our tiebreaker. If Pat gets it wrong, Ego Ferguson is giving a fan a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Here we go. Question 7. Who holds the Bears' all-time rookie record for receptions in a rookie season? Mike Ditka, Walter Payton, Johnny Knox, Matt Forte. Pat.
Ditka.
Incorrect.
Game
Matt
over.
Forte is the answer,
right.
And Ego Ferguson is the winner, and that means Mark Savard of Chicago wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So
spend
how about
it up.
Ego coming on the show and basically putting you on your backside,
dominate,
Patrick
Manley. Yeah,
good job out of the rookie. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look ahead to the 2014 regular season and what's the Bears defense going to look like this year. That's next with Ego Ferguson and Patrick Manley, Zach Zaidman on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears and Nike have teamed up to celebrate Back to Football Week with the Super Bear Shuffle 5K at Soldier Field on Thursday, September 4th. Registration for the race now open. Visit ChicagoBears.com for all the details. Visiting with Bears rookie defensive tackle Ego Ferguson here on Bears All Access alongside Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zabin here at Halas Hall. A week to go before the Bears kick off the regular season against the Bills at Soldier Field. And, you know, the defense for the Bears, when we last saw them playing a real game, it didn't go so well for the Bears, and there were a lot of injuries, so it's not really the fault of the players, because you had guys that were asked to do things that I don't think they were comfortable doing. But, you know, it's a brand new year. They've upgraded up front. You know, you, Will Sutton, Jared Allen, Lamar Houston, Willie Young, a lot of new faces, new defensive line coach in Paul Pasqualoni. We haven't even talked about Clint Hurt, mm-hmm. who that's an interesting character. I bet you he tried to recruit you, right?
Out of Miami.
Think about that, because Clint might be bigger than you.
He is. Ain't no Mike Nesson.
He is a big man. When I was down at training camp working with the long snappers, he ran by me, and I didn't know exactly. I was like, that's a big man.
Yeah, no, and he was a really good player at Miami. Yes. And the cool thing is I think he knows just about every star player that enters the NFL, because he was trying to recruit them all to Miami and Louisville after that. So that's good, I think, to have that relationship. Mike Rowe was, I think, the top recruiter in Alabama for a while. Mm-hmm. So the Bears have guys. They've got the inside scoop on all of you guys coming into the league. Not bad. All right, Jared Allen, what's he like?
Man, 100 miles an hour. Every play nonstop. It's like a technician, the ultimate technician. For steps, hand placement, angles, he's trying to find the best way to get to the situation. He counts the O-lineman steps, you know, trying to get his hands on your elbows or your wrists. I mean, he's like the ultimate professional, somebody you could love watching.
What's it like in the D-line room? What do they have you and Will doing as rookies? Do they have you getting seeds? Or, you know what I mean? Is there like a ritual or things you have to bring in every day or make sure you're doing?
Yeah, we definitely got to have the seeds on deck in there. Got to make sure, you know, have juice and water in there. Sometimes, you know, I got to go get Jay Allen and rattle some coffee in the, you know, straight black, nothing else. So it's pretty easy to get that, you know.
Have they taught you to drink coffee yet? Are you a coffee drinker?
I do from time to time, but not too much.
That's something I learned as a rookie, that to get through those meetings that get a little long, you got to get a little caffeine in you.
But we had Matt Forte on last week. He said he doesn't drink coffee.
You don't have to. Well, maybe he's got more energy than I did. Or I just think it helps.
Those meetings are long.
Get real long.
Real long. Yeah.
But it does help having a guy like Paul Pasqualoni in the room, though, because as a former head coach, he makes you understand more than just your position, why everything's going on back there, right?
Yeah, he teaches you everything. It's more than just the defense line in there. It's basically knowing the whole defense and understanding the offensive scheme.
We got to take a timeout when we come back. What's Ego Ferguson's favorite Tressmanism? We'll explain next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority with Patrick Manley's final show. I'm Zach Zaidman. He's going out with a bang here because we've had a good time with Ego Ferguson, the Bears rookie defensive tackle, here on the show. And Mark Tressman, you've had some interesting, from a personality standpoint, to go from Les Miles to Mark Tressman. That's something else, isn't it?
Both of them have their own style of coaching, and I feel like it works. But Coach Tressman, you know, there's a lot more trust in the situation as far as with the players and, you know, understanding how players feel and, you know, trying to work with both, not just his way, but with the players also.
There were times during Mark Tressman's meetings last year I had to Google certain words. His vocabulary is top-notch. I had no idea what the word meant would be on a PowerPoint. You start reading through it and go, huh? What does that mean? Google it and try to figure out what it means.
Do you remember your first conversation with him?
Yeah, it was when I came up here for the pre-draft visit. You know, just sat down, you know, asked about my family. It was a lot different because, you know, usually you get straight to the point with these visits. So he asked about my family, how I was doing as a person. It was more of a, you know, trying to get to know me as a man before the football player.
Right, and that's unique. Now, I'm not saying that other coaches don't care, but, you know, I think sometimes you're taken aback because you're trying to figure out, does he really care about, but he does.
Yeah, at first, you know, he kind of throws you off because you think it's a setup or something like that. But he's been the same way since day one, and that's one thing I really appreciate about him. Like the same way he came and asked you from the get-go about your family, he asked you on a consistent basis.
After that visit, did you have an idea that the Bears were going to draft you? Were they kind of your favorite?
I mean, they definitely, after the visit, they definitely were my favorite, you know, having Clint Hurt here and Coach P. And me when I took it, I was kind of, you know, hoping the Bears would have took me.
That's
so
great.
I'm so glad it happened
draft day
like
was a happy day then. You knew
very
exactly where
day.
You're going. You're more comfortable coming here, so that's awesome.
I mean, remember, Phil Emery once said, early on in his Bears general manager career, he said, I've got an affinity for SEC players, and, you know, here's another one. So he clearly likes him, and you can understand why. Biggest word that Mark Trestman has used with you in your brief time with the Bears?
Contact is inevitable.
See, there you go. I mean, he's something else. All right, we got to say goodbye, right? Good luck against Buffalo a week from today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The heart is thumping out of his chest right now.
I can't
now.
Wait to watch.
Up. All right. Patrick, thank you so much for your time on the show, and good luck at the Score.
Thanks, Zach. I appreciate it. I've had a blast working with you.
Big-time really gain. Big-time gain for the radio station. For Greg Miller, Paul Zarang, I'm Zach Zabin. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.